Good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday. It is your girl, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an exciting show for you today. I've already been talking backstage to some of our guests, and you will definitely enjoy today's show. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, before I start the conversation, before we really dig into it, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to be an evangelist, be an advocate, Just be a helper, someone who goes out and supports the show. So I want you to go next door to your roommate who's sleeping peacefully and wake them up. Let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is on. Text a friend, call granny, do whatever you have to do. But friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're doing that, while you're posting on social media, while you're sharing, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. And I don't know if you've ever watched this show before, you might just recognize her. You might recognize her face. You might recognize her beautiful smile, but you might also recognize her brand. And I think that's the most important thing, because she joins us as kind of co-host every Monday morning, Allison Allman, the organization Maven. Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. It's Monday again, all over again, and I'm happy as usual to start off my work week.
I'm happy to have you here. So this is my question for you, Allison. Did you go out and be an advocate for the Roundtable Talk Show?
Do I ever? I posted it this morning on both my socials. I posted it all week. Every time you post, I do a share. So I have you as my my alerts set on notify first. So every time you share, it shows up at the top of my Facebook feed, because I'm just like your stalker that way.
I like that. That is cool. I never asked that before, but sometimes I'm motivated to ask different questions. And I'm like, good answer. I like that everybody else take notes. This is how we get preferential treatment on the Roundtable Talk Show. Allison, the organization Maven, one of the reasons I love having you here, because anyone can go to the website, anyone can register. But one of the things that I love is that you take this opportunity serious. You really work it for your brand. You do not come on. You've been doing this basically since either late June or July, and then you did other shows prior to that. This is when you actually started picking every Monday. But every Monday, you have something new to talk about your business. And one of the number one questions that people ask me about social media is, okay, I don't know what to say. I don't have anything interesting to say, or even about their business. But you use this as an opportunity to talk about your growth in the last week. How do you do that? How do you keep inspired?
Well, from what I've noticed from all the brand influencers is they all encourage all of us just to show like our day-to-day life, which sounds really mundane or silly or anything, but it's the best way for our followers to connect with us and to have that one thing that we all hold true to us, like, oh my gosh, this person loves cats, I love cats, I have a cat, you know, whatever the one linking item is that puts us closer to our followers. Then what happens is then when we, you know, talk about how much we love our cat and how much our cat does whatever, then we have that same levelness. So I do share a lot of my business stuff on my social media. And then I also share some personal stuff just to have that little bit of connection. I usually do about once every couple of weeks a reintroduction post on all my social medias, and I post like tidbits about my personal life that if someone isn't my client yet, they wouldn't know. Like I always show a picture of like where I like to go on vacation, and a picture of me, and how I like to garden, and how I love taking pictures of clouds. And I kind of mix it up a little bit, but that's usually the general theme of it. And then when people see a picture of the Caribbean, or they see a picture of a forest, they're like, oh, I went there too on vacation. And then they connect more with me. They're more likely to use my organizing services down the road because we both like clouds, or we both like the Caribbean, or we both like gardening, or we both. So it just makes me more, I guess, real and not so much of a celebrity.
That's the little trick to it. Now, you mentioned your reintroduction post. Is how did you wander upon that? How did you happen to, how do you learn to do that? Because that's the first time I, in 26 years I've ever heard that term, I've ever heard that mentioned, and it's not something that I think of. I think, hey, everybody knows me, and if they don't, they'll get to know me. I never think of doing an introduction post well enough, a reintroduction post.
So I went to a brand summit in early in middle April, and all there was about five or six brand influencers that were there. There was one for TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. They this brand summit, they had grabbed like the top influencers, and then they gave like an hour long video of just straight up tips of how they got their celebrity status and their influencer status and everything. So one gentleman, he had talked about, can't think of his name right now. I just know he's the real Craig on Instagram. Real Craig something. He'll probably watch this and laugh because we talk on Instagram all the time. So right now I'm just drawing a blank. But anyways, he had talked about how anytime you have a spike of followers that have recently liked you, that you should do a reintroduction post and kind of welcome the newcomers and kind of bring them up to speed on who you are as a person and so forth. And that helps that with that connection, because the ones that already have been following you for a long time, they already love you, or else they wouldn't be your followers anymore. But if you do a new a boost a post or a new interview or a new something that you got, you just notice an influx of people that, you know. And he said he does it about once a month where he does a reintroduction of himself. And then that actually creates people to engage with him and instant message him and say, oh, hey, I love dog pit bulls too, or I love whatever he shared. They comment and say, oh, I love those two things too. And then that just makes them closer. And I don't know, I guess like 100,000 followers. So I figured if it worked for him, then it's going to work for me. And so usually the same thing. Once I have a new spike of, you know, 100 or so new likes or followers, I go and do a reintroduction post. And I tell other people that kind of feel stuck in their business, I'm like, well, have you done a reintroduction post? And they go, no, what's that? And I go, okay, well, that's where you reintroduce yourself and you share these little tidbits. So I usually outline how to do the perfect Instagram post, and I send them over the template and whatnot. And then I have them take screenshots of their insights before they do that reintroduction post and then after, so they can see the spikes and everything. And then they're like, wow, you're right, it worked. And I'm like, great, do it every couple of weeks or every time you see a big spike. So that's kind of my tidbit to share.
See, that's what our week and our Monday with Allison on me, because I had no idea. And when we finish this show, we're gonna do Ask Sharifa Hardy reintroduction post, and we'll see if it works. Because if it worked for Craig or the real Craig, and it worked for Allison Almond, most likely it will work for me and work for our viewers. Now, your business, the organization Maven, has it worked for you? Have you seen? Because the one thing that people say to me is this, and I know I can ask you questions about finances, and they will say, okay, I use these tips, I use these tricks, I use these strategies. And yes, I saw an increase in 20 followers. I saw I had three more likes, or maybe there was this huge increase, but those don't necessarily translate into clients or to sales.
So also what I took from that same Instagram influencer is he talked about being really specific with your ask. And he said that he makes a post that just straight up says, I'm looking for five CEOs to move to six-figure incomes, and I will give you a daily strategy, DM me or text me. And he does it as an actual written out post where he puts what he's looking for, what he'll give them, and how they can contact him as an actual text post on Instagram. So he also talked about that right after the introduction. And so he actually challenged all of us to go ahead and do something similar. He gave us kind of the template and everything. So then I went and did it. And within 24 hours, I had about 20 DMs of people DMing a specific word that related to what I was looking for. And so from those 20, I think I got three or four new clients. So I do those ask posts pretty frequently, at least once a week, and I'll put that I'm looking for five kitchens to organize in Orange County, and I'll come over and give an action plan and give you peace of mind. DM the word kitchen to, or text the word to kitchen to, and I put my cell phone, or I, DM me the word, and I'll get some, through the course of 12, 15 hours, I'll get about 20 DMs that say kitchen. And I go ahead and then kind of profile the lead and see where they're located and how bad their kitchen is and so forth and set up a consultation. And out of those 6 or 7 that actually give me a consultation right away, not 2, 3 months from now, because I kind of, to me, doesn't feel very urgent. then I'm able to close at least, 4 of those easily onto my calendar. And with having the seclusion of, in reality, I want to do 100,000 kitchens, because there's about 92,000 people that live in my immediate city area. And so I really want to do all 92,000 kitchens, but not all 92 of those 1,000 people are my followers yet. So I make it like a limited edition. Like I'm looking for 5 kitchens. So 30 people might DM me, but only 5 kitchens will get organized. So it creates this urgency of people wanting to be one of the 5. And so
I like that. So I like that. We're gonna do some posts for me. Well, after this, we gonna have Allison write some posts for all of us.
You only want 5 people on your talk show, and then 100 people send you a DM, and then you just cycle in that they do it a different day. They can't all do it in the same day, but it creates that urgency of so I think in some ways people say, "Why everyone's my client." And then I usually ask them, well, what's the income and what's the age bracket and what's the urgency? Do they have this? Do they have that? And then they're like, oh, well, I want women over 40 that are losing their hair. Great. That's your demographic. That's who you should be posting. I'm looking for 5 women over 40 that has thinning hair that after their pregnancy, they never got their hair back. And now I want to give them a sample of Monet hair care. Something like that. It makes it more urgent. And then one of those women over 40 that never got their hair back after, to the same fullness or thickness after their pregnancy, they're like, that's me. She's talking to me. I want to DM her. I want to be one of those 5 people. So that's what it creates on social media is that. And so if you do that reintroduction post, you've already had that, that closeness created, that relationship that you both like cats, or you both like clouds, or you both like the Caribbean, or whatever you put in your reintroduction, then when you say, I'm looking for 5 people that, loves clouds and wants to save the environment, then you hook them. And that's kind of
I love that. We do have a question. I'm gonna come back to the question because I want to introduce our questions, our guests. But Jade Elizabeth, her question for you, Allison, I'm going to give you the question, but I'm going to come back to you, is okay. How would you do that as a coach? So give that some thought, okay? How would you do that reintroduction question for a coach? But you also mentioned saving the environment. So I want to introduce our next guest who was living her life, corporate, focused on one thing, and then all of a sudden said, you know what? I see a problem. I have to be a part of the solution. Miss Isabel Carranza, who was doing, is a digital marketing expert. It's Monday. I didn't even have coffee. It's like early in the morning here. Okay. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But she's a digital marketing expert. And she took that to found her own company, Evergreen Cloth. Good morning, Isabel. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm excited. I love just the guests today, because every one of the similarities that you all have is that you basically saw a problem. And then you said, you know what? I have to do that, something about it. So tell us a little bit about how you started and then where you are right now.
Absolutely. Thank you. So I have been doing digital marketing for 20 years. And out of those 17 years, I've been in medical manufacturers, which it was great. It got me where I needed to be in my career. But originally, I'm from Mexico City. And coming from Mexico City, I realized culturally was very different. Coming to America, there was like a big cultural shock on how people do business and how they live their lives. They are always buying single-use paper towels, single-use plastic, single-use paper plates. And it bothered me. Like it was to the point that when I was working in medical, I would go to all these trade shows and there was so much trash. There was no consciousness of less use reusable things. So, you know, throughout my journey, my medical career or my in the medical corporate career, I thought there has to be a change. And I know there's all this change happening, but not every business is, you know, jumping in into finding ways to help the environment. They are at the bottom, at the end of the day, businesses are looking at the bottom line cost. And they think that if they choose environmentally friendly products, it's more expensive, which is not always the case. If you do your research, there's great products out there that in the long run will save a business or a home money. So when I left my corporate career, I started my agency, which is Digital Marketing Integrated. And I thought I always wanted, you know, I manage e-commerce for many of my clients, and I always wanted to have my own e-commerce. And I looked at different products, from pet products, because I love animals, to, I don't know, yoga products or whatever. And one day I said, well, why don't I combine my passion for the environment to an e-commerce? And I started researching different products, and there was one product that I was using, which is called the Swedish dishcloth. And it's been in Europe, it's been around Europe for many years, and probably some of you know it, some of them don't, because in America it's not that popular. So a lot of people do know about it, but
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, that I think 2 out of 10 people that I meet know of it. And it's crazy because this product has been around for, I want to say 15, 17 years in Europe. And I used to use it in Mexico. It was very, very popular. So I researched the manufacturer in Germany and I decided, you know what, I'm going to see if I can white label this product. And obviously that's not the only product that we have at Evergreen Cloth. We have a couple other products, but my mentality was let's choose products that are not just eco-friendly, but also biodegradable and compostable. And the key is not just selling the product, because a lot of people do that. The key is educating the customer, because I think that's the big disparity between a lot of businesses that do sell environmentally friendly products. They just care to sell and then that's it. But big part of being an eco warrior, that's what I like to call it, is how to use it, how to reuse it, and then finally how to discard or dispose of the product. You know, a lot of people end up buying an eco-friendly, a biodegradable sponge cloth, and they throw it in the trash inside of a plastic bag. So that defeats the purpose of being biodegradable, because it will never biodegrade inside of a plastic bag, you know? So those are the things that I figured. I will combine my digital marketing, because that's my bread and butter. That's where I came from for 20 years. I'm gonna use a digital channels to educate people, to help them nurture, you know, their relationship with others, with the companies they follow, and then also share awareness and doing it properly. So I basically married my digital marketing and my passion for being an eco-friendly, you know, advocate. And, you know, my husband says, it's like, you are really on a path. I'm like, yes, you know, I think people sometimes don't do things because they don't know. So there needs to be education for it. So that's kind of how I went from digital marketing to Evergreen Cloth, and I still do both, and I love it, you know. So I hope that answered your question.
It answered my question in a million different ways. I just love energy. I love people's energy. I love their passion. And you are just so passionate about saving the world and helping the world and making sure that we don't use all these single-use products. And I am one of those people, I admit it, I'm guilty of the single-use products. But one of the reasons for that is that when you find all these wonderful products, biodegradable, this thing or that thing, they're very hard to find in the store. You know, especially now through a global pandemic, I just want to go to the store, get my little essential supplies and come home. Like these products may not be as available. So what is your response when people say, well, you know, it may be hard to find?
Absolutely. And I am so glad you asked that, because last week I basically focus my entire energy. You know, I plan my weeks, you know, to do different tasks, but last week was to reach out to retailers. And that's actually a new space for me because I've done digital marketing, e-commerce, Amazon, Shopify, but entering that retail industry is new. So I did my research and basically went to all the local big stores around me, like Whole Foods, Gelson's, Jimbo's, Sprouts, and asked to talk to the manager. I figured I need to start somewhere, right? And I brought my samples, my little bag of my produce. I have a cotton produce bag made out of, you know, 100% cotton. I have a wood brush, and then I have my sponge cloth. And I introduced my samples. I told them my story. And I said, what are the chances that you as the brand or the location manager can sell my product here? And a lot of them said a lot. Actually, a lot of the local managers at the retail stores have some say. At the end of the day, if you want to go, you know, nationwide, you do need to go to the corporation. But I figured that would be like a good entry point. So that's what I've been doing, because a lot of my customers, because I you know, I sell on my website, I sell on Amazon, I'm on Google Shopping, I'm in different channels. But some of them have said, I just want to find these products at my local grocery store. And that's the thing. A lot of people that have businesses like mine find it, I think, overwhelming and almost a little bit intimidating to pitch your product to a retail store, because I think there's like a, I don't know if it's a misconception, but people think grocery stores want the people to come back and, you know, sell, you know, it's like the constant sales. And here we are selling a product that one sponge cloth can last 6 to 8 months. So one sponge cloth replaces 17 rolls of paper towels. So you're basically advocating that you're not going to come back for another 8 months. So it's like a fine line of education, but also showing that it is a product that people are going to have to rebuy and, you know, and come back. So I think grocery stores or big retailers are starting to become aware. When I was last week shopping around, or not shopping around, but when I went to the retailers, I did look to see if there were eco-friendly options. And some of them did have them, but the majority, to your point, did not have them, which is a good thing because the market is there. So I just need to go and continue to do that. But yeah, hopefully it will start changing. And I think it takes a lot of courage from small brands like me to go and push and try to get to the right person to listen to you and test your product and hopefully carry it in the retail stores.
Excellent answer. I love asking the hard questions just to see, you know, you're prepared for them. So I love your response. I have to introduce the next guest, but I just wanted to say this to you is I love your gumption. That's what my grandmother would call it. She's like gumption. I mean, like grandma with this gumption, but you know what I mean? But as you get older, you see there's that chutzpah, that spirit that you won't take no for an answer. So I think that the local grocery stores, they're going to say yes to you more than they say yes to your product. And that's a wonderful thing. But one of the answers that I would have prepared for their questions is how are you going to move the product off the shelf? That's the main question. It's really easy to get into stores, to get just about any product into stores. But on a local or a national level, what they want to know is how you're going to push the product. How are you going to get the people into the stores? Do you have a demand for it? How are you creating that demand for the product? And one of the ways that you do that is social media. You want to drive the people to that local store. So I would recommend, and this is just off the top of my head, a little free advice, thinking of ways to incorporate that local grocery store into your marketing campaigns. So, because we all know, because I always talk about online is different than offline. And the reason that is because offline, people want the best deal at the lowest price and they'll surf the internet. That's why it's called surfing the internet, going from website to website to website to website to website. And they want it the best price. They want to hear today, not tomorrow. They want a discount for the next time. They want a gift card for their friend. They want so much. But when you drive it offline, even if I go to a store for a pair of black shoes and they don't have my black shoes, the likelihood, I mean, how many of us can walk out of a Target empty handed, even if they didn't have what they came to get? it's the same idea. Push the people to the stores and the stores will be grateful and the stores will spread the word and they'll see the numbers for that store and that may open up an opportunity for you to go national. Now, that was me on my soapbox, taking a lot of time because it's more Monday morning, but I am going to come back to you. I hope that helped, Isabel. I want to introduce our next guest, Alexander Lazutin. Alexander is amazing. He saw a problem, and I think his problem was actually exacerbated in COVID-19 because we want to talk to people, we want to meet people, but we dang sure don't want to talk to them, and we don't want to exchange information physically. So he created a solution, and it is My iCarta, which helps us to be friends and network without having to exchange information physically. Good morning, Alexander. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thanks. Thanks to you for the introduction. My pleasure to be here. That's exactly right. Yes, we want to create a solution where you can pass information basically within very close proximity. It's got a little bit of a link with what Isabel said about saving the environment, because one-time users, actually another case was business cards, which they 9 out of 10 of them get thrown away within a week. So when you collect them, you normally put them in some pocket somewhere, you leave them, or you have to take a picture and then you throw them away because you've got the information on your phone. And then you add numbers, emails, social media, whichever you want to store. And we thought, what if we get rid of that piece of card and transfer just exactly the same information phone to phone? We need something very easy, quick, and available for everyone. And that's how we came up with the idea for iCarta. And we call it My iCarta, which basically means my personal card. Store it in phone and it's easy to exchange instantly from phone to phone, any phone, Android, iOS, either through NFC, so like contactless payments, you know, within 10 centimeters, or by scanning a QR code.
Okay, so do both people have to have the My iCarta app on their phones?
So here's what, the person exchanging the card does, but the person receiving, no. So if you go to a networking event and you see you want to exchange your contacts, spread your word about yourself, about your business or whichever, or you just have the app and the other person, all they need is a camera on the phone and they get their your contact instantly into their phone book.
So it's actually more for you, the person, like, I always run out of business cards. I guess that's a good thing and a bad thing, but I always run out of business cards. And then I'll be somewhere and I'm talking to someone. They say, oh, you have a card, and I'm digging through my purse. Like, I know it's in here, that I open it up and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't refill it. I don't have any cards, but as long as they have a camera on their phone, a camera phone, then I can digitally send it to them.
Yeah, so you've got to have, I mean, you might forget your business card somewhere, but you probably won't forget your mobile phone. I mean, especially in the 21st century, everybody has a phone on them. And all you need is your phone, offline transition. So you don't even need connection to internet. All you can do is just share with them.
I like that idea. Amy Trout Hughes says, love the iCarta idea. BlackBerry used to do this. And then she said, yes, I'm 105. I desperately miss that device. Yes. Somehow I don't think she's 105, but I get the moral of the story is that there are little things and aspects that you really like and then they go away and then you're forced to figure it out.
Yes, that's what we try to implement, to the newest technology, keep up with time and make it available for as many devices as possible.
To me, and I'm gonna throw this out there, to me it sounds like that's something that will evolve. I love the idea. I love the whole My iCarta. We're passing along information, but I'm one of those people that wake up at 3 a.m. with these weird ideas. I'm like, you know what? We can do this with the app. If you can exchange this information, then you can exchange this information as well. I'll be walking around thinking of things that I would just love to send people just because.
Yeah. So, I mean, we accept all ideas. Well, we love this community of, you know, proactivity, entrepreneurship, getting everybody involved and adding features, maybe what we didn't think of. And our users want it, we will add it.
Well, I'm going to think of some features, and then I'm going to ask some people to think of some features. But I'm going to introduce our next guest, and she's amazing. I was being nosy. I was doing some of my own stalking, and I was checking out her social media. And I was like, oh, this is very timely. And so our next guest is Cherry Williams Franklin. Is it Cherry or Sherry?
It's Sherry.
See, I should have asked that prior to the show, but then I started talking and I got distracted. So Sherry Williams Franklin, and you are founder and CEO of Life Snapshot. And when I initially read your bio of what you do, I kind of waved it off because I've had several guests on the show because everybody's saying it's COVID-19, the world's coming to an end. You have to make sure that you're ready and that your loved ones are ready and you don't want to do a GoFundMe. So you have to make sure you're prepared. So I was like, okay, Sherry is going to make sure that we're prepared. And then we started talking about how you do digital estate planning. And I was like, this is a whole different spin. I love discovering new products, new services, and it's a new spin to a way we've been doing things for years. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, Sherry?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be on the panel today. I mean, there's just so much great energy. My background is sales and marketing and R&D for mid to large size manufacturing companies for almost 20 years. So listening to Allison and listening to Isabella has been fantastic. But it's all of those experiences in R&D that really helped me move Life Snapshot forward. So essentially, our platform helps families organize and securely store final asset as well as, or personal asset as well as final wish information so that their loved ones can easily find it while grieving. So essentially, our technology platform consolidates asset information such as bank accounts and 401ks and vehicles and properties into a single account or a single report that is stored on our platform as a digital vault, inside of our digital vault. And then from there, we have a customer support team that actually conducts monthly and quarterly well-being checks based on our members' preferences in order to ensure that that information is shared with their family when necessary. So when you talk about the world is falling and every other guest that's come on here talking about COVID and the pandemic, one of the things that my team has been doing is conducting those monthly well-being checks. And so we had a member that was hospitalized throughout the pandemic, and we were able to share their medical advance directive and power of attorney information with their family while they were incapacitated. So our platform really is here to just be a support system for families so that there's continuity in their end of life and end of care planning.
I think that's excellent. One of the reasons why I just was so inspired by this is I had a friend who went through the same, like the struggle of that. And she was a dear friend. I've known her since we were kids. And the odd thing, but was that she went into the hospital with a heart attack. And she flatlined twice. She was basically out of it for days, only to, and this is my friend, this is just happened maybe a month or so ago, is she woke up to discover that her husband had passed away at home from a heart attack, and they're 40 something years old. And so she was still recovering, has to be on a ventilator for the rest of her life. And she had no idea where his documents were. She didn't know where her documents were because all of this was so unexpected, and it hit me and affected me personally because this is, you know, I'm 44. This is the first time I've attended someone's wedding and their funeral. But the thing that I noticed was that neither one of them had planned. They had no idea. And she didn't know where his information was.
And that's exactly right. I mean, you would be surprised at the number of customers that inbox us after they sign up for Life Snapshot and just tell us how relieved they are. You know, the thing about death is it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter your gender, your sexual orientation. Death transcends all of that. And we have got to make sure that someone is fully aware of where our assets are. At the end of the day, the conversation project, they conduct a survey every 2 years, and it asks the question about our human behavior. It's how often or how important is discussing end of life planning with your loved ones, right? They ask that question every few years. And 92% of the respondents say it's absolutely important.
But the reality is that only 32% actually conduct the conversation. They don't have the conversation. Few of us have it. And it doesn't matter if you're married. I'm married. I don't know every single detail about my husband. I do now because he's got a life snapshot plan and he was able to put that information in. If something were to happen to him, I wouldn't have been able to call his job. I wouldn't have known his boss's name. I wouldn't have had that information readily accessible. Our platform allows for that. So we're very proud of the work that we're doing and just supporting families. Because as I mentioned to you behind the behind the scenes, my family went through the exact same thing. And it's hard for people not to have a personal experience with death and having the struggle of having to find this information.
That is a struggle. No, what do you say to people who say, that snapshot, my life snapshot, that's a lot of information to turn over to give to someone. What is your response?
Yeah, first of all, someone has to have it. And digital storage, cloud-based technology, leveraging data centers is helpful, right? We want to encourage everyone. We're already doing it. All of our information is all across the cloud in various forms. So putting it into an actual vault that has cybersecurity is much better than just having a piece of paper at home. I would encourage you to look at our platform. We've got two-step authentication. We've got a full cybersecurity team. We have data encryption, malware scans, system backups, everything that you need to feel supported and trusting that our platform is the right venue for all of this information. And the thing about it is we don't need your social security number. We don't need your account number. We just need to know where you bank. We need to know who has your pension. We need to know where you have properties. At the end of the day, no one should need that information. We just want to be able to collect it to provide it to your loved ones so that they have a roadmap to navigate when they're trying to put your affairs in order.
Excellent answer. She was ready for that question. She was like, oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Allison, I'm going to go over to you in a minute. You've been sitting there all quiet, trying to act like you're not the co-host. This is what you do. This is where you at. What are your thoughts? Because I know you're taking notes. So who you want to start with?
Well, I really, when Alexander talked about the business cards and how they're such a clutter thing and they're something of the past, I actually have gotten rid of my business cards several times. And when I show up to a networking meeting, they're like, oh, let me have your card. I'm like, hey, let me just send you my digital card. And so many people are like, oh, only true professionals have business cards. I'm like, look, I'm a home organizer. I know exactly what you do with your business cards. You take them home, you add them to a file in your office, and then that's it. You never input them into your computer or your phone. You just have a pile. You have no categories or rhyme or reason. And then when I come along in a couple of years to organize your home office, guess what I find in the top drawer of your desk? A whole pile of business cards of people that probably have changed their numbers, have changed their business, have done, you know, something else, and now you're holding on to this pile. So I'm always trying to encourage people to get rid of the pile, input it into a system, you know, take a picture of it, call, you know, make that connection. Anything. I know a lot of people on the back write where they ran into that person at a B&I meeting or at a country club or at a ribbon cutting, but they never do anything with it. So I'm like, yes, we have an app to have it all in there because to me, it's old technology to have that pile because there's a very few amount of people that do something with that pile or they put them into categories or they input it or whatever, but for the most part, it just ends up in that pile, if it even makes it there. Sometimes us women, we stick things in our purse, and then later, you know, we end up cleaning out our purses and get rid of everything, and out goes all those business cards that we, you know, we met at a meeting or something. So I was like, yes, thank you, I love you, making an app. And then I actually use unpaper towels, and so someone sewed paper towels as a part of their business at least 10 years ago. And I still have the same roll. And they aren't biodegradable because they're all cloth with snaps that snap them together like as a paper towel roll, so to speak. But the roll came with 20 sheets and I only use three, and the same three get rewashed every week and then re-snapped to the beginning. So it's kind of funny because the first three are kind of wonky where they've shrank and bled and are different colors than the actual roll, because I never use more than three sheets. So, and I wanted to know, do you also have, do you have a family cloth, is what it's called now? It wasn't called that a couple of years ago, but it's pretty new to the title of a reusable toilet paper. They call it family cloth now.
So before I answer that question, I was going to tell you that, you know what you could do? I'm going to give you an idea on what to do with your rolls of paper towels, you know, that on paper towels. So you're using the first three, but I'm sure you use paper towels more than in just your kitchen. So if you use them in your garage or patio or wherever, downgrade the ones that are looking so-so, downgrade them to an area of your house that is not so visible, because that's kind of what I do with the sponge cloths that I have. I keep the nice ones out visible. And once they start getting a little like, I don't know, not so ideal, then I use them for the bathrooms, for the patio, for my dog. I mean, I use them to like wipe her paw. So that way you can just rotate them, you know, and then use them all evenly. So anyway, about paper, toilet paper. So I actually I had this conversation with some of my neighbors, because apparently a lot of my neighbors have those fancy toilets that you don't need toilet paper. I don't even know what they're called, but they're a lot of, do you have them? Any of you?
Okay. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, it is a bidet, but it's actually a toilet. It's electronic, it opens, that seat warms up, there's water coming from every single side, so that's that bidet part, but it's actually a toilet. So yeah. And it's connected to like the electricity, to the water, and through this pandemic at the beginning, all my neighbors are like, oh, we need toilet paper. And there's a handful of them that they're like, we don't, these toilet papers work great. So I was thinking, I don't know, I could actually, reuse something that you're claiming your number two with. I'd rather buy one of those toilets. They're super expensive, but you do save in toilet paper. They're supposed to be actually better for you than, you know, wiping with a toilet paper. So that's where I stand. I do believe in reusing a lot of things, but there's some areas, especially, you know, me coming from the medical field, there's some areas that you do not want to even put in your washing machine, even if you could. I don't know. That's my take on things. But how about the rest of you? How do you feel about that?
Well, I haven't gotten that desperate that I would reuse anything. So I'll hold off.
Well, so with the reuse, what it is you keep a water bottle close by and you squirt down there. And then you use the soft flannel-like material to wipe. And then it sits in a bowl or a container or a wet bag, so to speak, that's filled with vinegar. So then you just dump the whole thing. So there's no actual waste on, like floating waste or anything on them. It's just in that wet bag. And then you take the whole wet bag, vinegar and all, and put it into your direct washing machine. And it's really soft with flannel. There's quite a few Etsy sites that carry the reusable toilet paper. I actually was doing it back in 2010 when I first heard about it, and I saved hundreds and hundreds of dollars on toilet paper. And then my now ex-husband found out that I was doing that with the custody of my kid and all my days and so forth, and felt it was super unsanitary. He wouldn't listen to any of what was happening or anything. And so what I noticed was there was a lot of rashes happening because he was using abrasive cheap toilet paper. And I was like, here, I'll just send you over. He's like, no, I won't consider it. And then as my child got older, she realized, Mom, why are we doing this with cloth? I had toilet paper at Dad's house. Dad said the grocery stores sell toilet paper. There's no reason for us to reuse anything. And I go, oh my gosh, this is so sanitary and so much better for our body and all this kind of stuff. And so then I just got outvoted on my island of using it.
What do you know about that version? What is it called, you say?
Oh, well, it used to be just called cloth toilet paper. And then in the past couple of years, it's evolved, and the trend has been to call it family cloth, because the whole family uses it, so to speak. And so then, like, if you go on Etsy and you type in family cloth, all these reusable cloth toilet paper people show up as like a trending word.
Well, I'm gonna look.
You weren't expecting this, were you, Sharifa?
That's the beauty of the roundtable talk show. I just wake up. That's what everyone wants to know. What are we going to talk about? What is the topic? What is, I don't know. We just, whatever happens, happens. If you want to discuss your product, your service, your whatever it is, go ahead and mention it. I want to go over to Sherry real quick. One of the interesting things that.
Got to talk louder.
I got to talk louder now?
Yeah, it went out again, your mic.
So are you able to hear me?
We can hear you. You're low, but we can hear you. Go ahead.
Sherry, we were talking earlier with Allison about the reintroduction. I like the way that you do your social media, that you bring, you have, to me, from what I saw, the ability to make whatever's going on in the world, whatever's relevant about your business without making it shameless, you know, self-promotion. You give examples of some of the reasons why it's relevant. I really enjoyed your post on Chadwick Boseman, because I felt the same way. You know, it's like you take the Black Mamba, we lose the Black Mamba. Oh. Now we've lost the Black Panther.
I know.
And, you know, the first was a tragedy, an accident. And this one was just like news. I woke up at about 5 a.m. to see that announcement. And I literally Googled, like, this is fake news. Like, this cannot be real. But you also... It reminds us again that life is short and we don't always know when it's our last time. In the last 2020, what has people's response been to that? Have you seen an overwhelming, a lot of people who just said, you know what, I have to do something. I have to make sure that everything is taken care of.
Absolutely. I think if 2020 has taught us nothing, you know, beyond just the death, right, beyond losing Kobe and losing Chadwick and, you know, the pandemic, California had wildfires last week, you know, yes. Chicago had 11 tornadoes touch down here almost 2 weeks ago. You've got hurricanes in Florida. At the end of the day, I think people want to get away from having digital documents. They want to find a solution to store everything in one place. They have to identify methods of doing that are digital. You can't go to your loved one's house and sit on their couch and go through paperwork. You have to now have those conversations with people that may live in a different state, may have a different organization system. And so our platform allows you to do that. And so we have seen an influx in those interested, not only in my business, but I think in the insurance space. There's been an increase in the number of policies written to support families because, again, it's all about continuity, ensuring that your family's needs are being met long term. And so, yes, I think everyone is now having, you know, mortality conversations in a way that hasn't happened in the past. So I think if the Conversation Project actually did a survey right now, the respondents' percentages would be a lot higher. Because while we have avoided them in the past, I think they're more prevalent right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Alexander, I want to go over to you. Now, we have three different guests aside from yourself. Do you have any thoughts on any of the other guests? I know you've been sitting here patiently watching.
That's fine, yeah. Very interesting ideas, especially like that each, something that combines all of us is that the desire to have an impact on something as opposed to just do a business for the sake of business. Yes, I think that's really inspiring to hear, even though they're completely different, you know, like industries, but it's all the same to affect each other, to improve people's lives in the local community, in the national and on the international stage further on.
No, you're young. You seem like a young man. I'm not going to guess your age, but have you had that mortality conversation with anyone, or are you one of those people who feel like when I get to 60, then I'm gonna have that conversation?
Yes and no. With some people, yes, but I've also, even people my age, I've witnessed one of my friends passing away, which was very surprising and very shocking. And I noticed how their families responded, how people around them responded, and it was quite troublesome. So this sort of thing will definitely help on a I would definitely support this idea, especially what I was thinking is the issue of trust and security. That's probably the main thing. You would get people to trust the system to input all their details, because I think that's the main thing that would stop nowadays people with hacks and cybersecurity issues. That would be the main, you know, for me anyway, the main thing to focus.
And I think that's right. I think, you know, security is going to be a big concern for all of us for years to come, whether it's in our homes or online. And so I'm just happy to have a full team that ensures they have oversight of that. And it's all about, we limit even what we're asking of you. You know, again, no one needs your social security number. No one needs your account information, that stuff. And those are the types of topics people need to be clear on. At the end of life, if something were to happen to you, your loved ones do not need your bank account in order to go and speak to the bank. They just need to know where you bank. They can go into the bank, share with them a copy of the death certificate, share with them a copy of the power of attorney document that you have signed, and they're able to close your account. They're able to access whatever they need to access without your account information. So if someone is asking you for that, I would be leery of that question because it's not a requirement.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that you mentioned a couple of times, at least, Sherry, is my team. And one of the things I love is when I see people who really understand that they didn't make it here alone, that they didn't get here by themselves. One of the questions that I ask probably the most often during this pandemic as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as the founder and a leader of your company, how did you have to pivot during it? Did you see an expansion? Were you worried about having to lay off employees? How has it affected your company personally?
So my company has been doing well. We launched earlier this year, a couple of weeks before the pandemic. And so some of my staff, in particular, my customer support, was already remote. They were already, you know, we weren't all in the same office anyway. And so that just held us from continuing to move into one single location. So that's been fine for us. We were able to make that adjustment and pivot. The development team, our techies, they can work anywhere. They're around the clock. So I do have people in different time zones. So that's been amazing. So for us, we haven't seen any challenges with that. But yeah, it takes a village. No one gets to start a technology company by themselves. I'm the first to admit I'm a non-technical founder. So there's no way I could have this level of technology without having a great team behind me.
No. So beautiful. It's so wonderful. I love it. No man's an island and we don't get to the top by ourselves. That's another reason why we have Allison Allman here every Monday, so we can learn from her and she grows with us, and why we have all of our guests here. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Isabel.
Okay, well, thank you first for having me again. I had a great time. It was great to meet all of you. And for those that want to connect with me on either of my business, you can look me up on LinkedIn. I'm Isabel Carranza on LinkedIn. And if you want to join our tribe and follow us on social media for our Evergreen Cloud journey, please look us up. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and all of them. You can find us as Evergreen Cloud. We would love to connect with like-minded people, and even those people, the people that are still like unsure on where to start, you know, send us a message. We love to inspire others. So, and our website is evergreencloth.com. Thank you again for having me. It was a pleasure.
You are so welcome. Have to check it out. Visit the website at evergreencloth.com. I want to go over to Alexander.
Thank you very much. It's a very enjoyable podcast. And I'll repeat what I said. Everyone has made like some inspirational comments today, which I find. And what we as a brand try to do, one of our core values is that to encourage connectivity, to encourage people to work together, to connect, to go out and meet people, because we honestly believe that connections change lives. And that you may relate to this, you may relate to some connections that have changed your life. And our like message to take away is stay connected, go out, meet people, take risks, but stay connected, keep your contacts and make use of the contacts that you make. So don't just forget about them, put them somewhere, actually go back to them and keep people in your network.
I like that. So I just wanted to ask this real quick, this came to me. When you receive the information, does it go into like a separate contacts app or does it import it into your actual contacts on your phone?
Yes, if you don't have the iCart app, so it'll go to your contacts in your phone. If you do have the app, it will be like a, you know, visionary business card inside the apps. And you can sync it with Google contacts, with Outlook contacts. It's however you like to manage them, or your phone contacts.
I have to look into that because one of the things that I do is I don't like a lot of numbers in my phone because in my personal phone, those are the people I talk to on a daily basis. I don't want everyone who I'm trying to network and meet and maybe get to know or people who are acquaintances or, you know, in the same phone. So I always keep them separate. And then people constantly tell me when I'm like, who is this? They like, Sharifa, we just talked. I'm like, that was 5 months ago. You're no longer in my phone. So I have to check it out. Maybe it's an option for me to keep contacts separate on the same phone. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'm gonna play with it. Where can I download it?
It's available on the App Store and Google Play as My iCarta. And the website is myicarta.com where you can find links to both stores.
I like playing with new gadgets and new toys. Allison, what do you have for us?
Well, I never got to address Elizabeth, Jade Elizabeth's coaching question. So I guess I'll have to do that as a reach out as a one-on-one.
No, we can't address it right now. We got time. We back to you. We still got Jade Elizabeth.
Okay, well... I have a couple different more ideas to go with it. Like, you know, it all boils down to what your demographic is and what your niche is. So when you're at, so coaching questions are such a broad question because anyone can be a coach. I'm a coach, you're a coach, everyone here is a coach. You know, like we all are coaches in ourselves. So I had more questions about what she coaches in. So I was gonna do a one-on-one to find out more, to ask more questions about what her direct demographic is. Because
so we'll do the 101, but do you have any like just quick tips on anyone who's a coach? No.
In the sense that once you know what your exact demographic looks like, what your ideal client looks like, what your perfect client looks like, then you know what to ask for when you're making those ask posts. I know exactly what hair color my ideal client is. So when I'm posting that I need 5 kitchens or 5 garages, I know I am, when we do the DMs back and forth, I'm asking to find out if they're my perfect client. So I feel like the ask post is kind of opening the door to having my clients go, oh, that's me. That I want to be one of those 5 people. So it's kind of like a one-on-one thing.
It's a 101, and Jade Elizabeth said, I would love that. So what's the best way for Jade Elizabeth to contact you?
So basically anyone can go to any social media of their choice. They can go to Facebook, they can go to Instagram, they can, if they type in the organization, Maven, anywhere on social media, my profile will pop up and I get an alert and then I respond. And so it's the organization Maven, and you'll see this lovely picture of me. And it's all the same on all my profiles. It's all the same picture, all the same username, all the same all the same hashtags. It's all the same.
Consistent. I love consistency. That's the key to success. So Jade Elizabeth at the organization Maven, that's who you need to contact, Jade, at the organization Maven, and she'll take care of you. I want to go ahead and end the show. Sherry, take us out. What do you have for us?
Well, thank you again. Thank you so much for having me. It's amazing to have met you and everyone on the panel today. So thank you for your time. So if you want to learn more about Life Snapshot, feel free to go to our website, which is lifesnapshot.com. But we're also Life Snapshot Inc. across all social media platforms. So LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And one thing I'll share is we do have a Zoom happening this coming Saturday. So one of my sales leads, Barbara, has a post floating around where she's asked me to sit in for an hour and just answer questions. So if you want to learn more, I'll make sure to post that throughout this week. with the Zoom link so you can sit on that call. Life Snapshot is as little as $14.99 a month. So there's different plan options to fit everyone's budget. So thank you so much for having me.
I would definitely love to check out that Zoom. So when we finish the show, please post the Zoom link or the post in the comment section, and our viewers would definitely love to check it out. I want to thank you all for being a guest on this morning's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support, but don't just watch the show. Please support the show, share the show, visit the guests. Their website links are in the Facebook post. Download the app, find out, watch the Zoom. Contact Isabel through Evergreen Cloth. You may have questions about that reintroduction post. Follow Allison at the organization Maven. Be a part of what we're doing. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.